Sure enjoyed that singing this morning. Rarely do I tell them what to sing. I just let them obey the Lord. And it's amazing to me sometimes how on time the Lord is. And they have not a clue what I'm about to preach this morning, but I'm going to preach on the grace of God. If I can, my heart's so full that I got one of those big knots in my throat and can't get it to go down. So you pray for me this morning. But man, through it all, we have been so blessed. I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter number 11. When you get Matthew chapter number 11, just hold your finger there and then find Luke chapter number 12. Matthew chapter 11 and then Luke 12. We'll begin in Luke 12. How many of you glad you saved this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter number 11, hold that and then get Luke 12. Say amen when you find them both. Everybody looking at the Bible this morning. This morning I want you to kind of prepare your mind just a little bit. I want you to think this morning on some of the things that you have. On some of the blessings that you have. I, like many of you, could find something negative or bad in my life, and I could dwell on that.
Yes, sir.
And I could live there. I could choose to live in that spot, that one negative, that one dark spot. But when I look at my life as a whole, it's far brighter than it is dark.
Yes,
say that again. It's far brighter than it is dark.
Yes,
in other words, there's been more blessings than there have been heartaches. And there have been some heartaches. That's life. That's the world that we live in. And we're going to have heartaches till Jesus calls us home. But when I look at this thing as a whole, it's been good. Somebody help me right there. God been good to you? Wave at me a little bit. Let's have a little class interaction here. Has God been good to you? Say amen.
Amen.
I want you to dwell this morning on the goodness and the blessings of God. Instead of just the hard things, our flesh and our mind were made that way. If something's bad, our 100% attention is drawn there. That bad thing, that hurtful thing is said, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. When all the blessings just go unnoticed and unthankful for. So you look at Luke chapter, or Matthew chapter number, where did I tell you to go first? Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12, look with me at verse number 47. This is talking about the servants that the master gave a portion to. And when he comes back, the Bible said in verse 47, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. Now watch this statement. This is where I want to bring the message from this morning. For unto whomsoever, say the next word with me, much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Every one of us waved our hand and said amen to the fact that God has given us many blessings. With the blessing, there is a requirement on our part. Would you agree? To whom much is given, of him shall be much required. Hey, there is a God's part, and we're thankful for that. But then what about our part? I think about the many blessings in my life, my wife and my children and my grandchildren and my church family. And I think about that, but I think about the greatest blessing in my life without a shadow of a doubt is unquestionably the grace of God.
Amen.
Greatest thing ever known to man would have to be the grace of God. God has surely given much grace in this place. You say, well, I don't know anything about the grace of God. Well, unknowingly you do. If you're sitting here and you're sucking in and you're blowing out, hey, you're sitting up straight this morning, you ain't got a feeding tube down your throat, hey, you know the grace of God. God's been good to you. You say, but I'm going through a hard time. Yeah, and you're going through that hard time with the grace of God. What is grace? Webster said that it is God's unmerited favor toward man. God, I believe that's the best definition that I've read on the grace of God. God's unmerited favor upon man. In other words, not getting what you deserve.
Amen.
Amen. Not getting what you deserve. Most criminals go to court and you know what they expect? A fair trial. A fair trial. When I came before God, I'm glad I didn't get a fair trial. A fair trial would have been you spend forever and ever and ever in hell and burn in the lake of fire to all out eternity. That would have been a fair trial. You say, oh, not me. Oh, yeah, you. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But for the grace of God. Amen. I should be one of them, Brother Warren and them. I don't know who's going today. So our guys go to jail every Sunday. I should be getting preached to in jail. Say amen. Amen. I should have been paying child support all these years. My wife ought to have left me years ago. But for the grace of God, here we sit happily married. Here I sit on the good side of the bars this morning. Amen. Here I am under the grace of God, preaching the word of God. Woo! I might get happy in a minute and just bust out of this. I'm telling you, man, God's been good. God's been good. And if we're not careful, we are so ungrateful and so unthankful for His grace. And we focus on what is wrong instead of what is right. Let's say three things about the grace of God before we get the message this morning. If there is a nation on this planet, probably the two greatest nations on the planet, I would say Israel, God's chosen people, and the United States of America. God has showed more grace to these two nations. One a great big one and one a little bitty one. But God has had His hand of mercy and His hand of favor on America all these years. But America is so badly misusing the grace of God, taken for granted for so long the grace of God, making light of the grace of God, not accepting the grace of God. I'm afraid one of these days God may just lift His hand and say, try it by yourself. I want us to think about three things right quickly. First of all, I want us to think about God's grace. I want us to think about the reach of God's grace. The reach of God's grace. How far can the grace of God reach? To the lowest pits of the damned this morning. God's grace has found man in his lowest condition. David said, I lifted up my voice and he heard my cry and he lifted me up out of a horrible pit. Hey, God reached down and picked you up when nobody else could. He brought you out of the booze. He brought you out of the drug. He brought you out of the adultery. He brought you out of the sin in your life. God is the one who picked you up and put you where you are today. The reach of His grace. I've often heard people say about different ones, there's no hope for them. Long as you're breathing, there's hope for you. You say, if I walk into church, the ceiling will fall in. It's doing pretty well. It's held up all these years. I believe it'll take one more, old sinner. Amen. There is not one sinner greater than another sinner. Sin is sin and God hates it all.
Amen.
Amen. From the depravity and the sin that we would mark way up there, God hates that just as much as He hates you lying on Facebook. Amen. The reach of God's grace. Man, aren't you glad He came where you were? I love that song Miss Janice used to sing. He came to me. When I could not come to where He was, Brother Todd, He came to us. I was just looking at Todd. I remember after a revival meeting years ago in the old building, Brother Todd realized in that service he wasn't saved and went home and got saved that night. God came to him. And just like He came to me on a New Year's Eve, just like He came to Brother Charles and Brother William and Levi, just like He came to every one of us sitting in this room who are saved by grace, the grace of God reached us. Seemed like years ago the phone company had a slogan, reach out and touch someone. I'm glad the grace of God reached out and touched me. Amen. It wasn't because of my pedigree. It wasn't because of my background. It wasn't because of who my daddy was. It wasn't because of who my mama was. It was because the grace of God, cared even enough for me. The reach of God's grace It can reach to the lowest of low. That old murderer on death row, it can reach them. That lady they'll put to death here in Georgia this week, it'll reach her. Amen. Amen. It reached the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. He was nothing more than a murderer and a hater of God and God's people. Amen. The grace of God reached him. And if it reached him, it can reach you this morning. I'm just sure thankful that it reached me where I was. The reach of God's grace. Secondly, I want you to note the reason of God's grace. The reason. You ever wonder why God shows his mercy and his grace toward us? Do you ever wonder? You ever look at yourself in the mirror and wonder why God would even care? You ever look at yourself in the mirror and say, Lord, why do you put up with this? Amen. You ever do that? I know some people think you're all that and a bag of chips, and you're probably the worst of us. Amen. I can't stand to get around people who think they're better than somebody else. Amen. I'm honest. I can look in the mirror and go, you're a dog.
Amen.
Amen. It'd be to do you good when you learn to be honest with yourself and honest with God. Then you can get somewhere. You ever wonder why God puts up with you? How many of you ever confess the same sin more than once? Rest of you lying. Or you just ain't never confessed no sin. Amen. You ever wonder why God just again and again and again and again, he just keeps on and keeps on and keeps on. I'm going to tell you why. We talked about the reach of his grace, but the reason of his grace is simply this. Hold on, this is so deep. He loves you. I can't go any further than that. He loves you. It's that simple. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank God that he loved us. Learn to sing it as a little child. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But I did not come to that realization that he really loved me till I was a 19-year-old boy. And the reach of grace showed me the reason of grace. That he loved me. That he loved me. You understand God loves you this morning? There's a hater crowd out there to have you believe otherwise. That you got to be so good to get to God. No, God's so good he'll get to you. Now, I like that. I'm going to say it again. There's a crowd that's preached you so, got to be so good to get to God. But it's not that. It's that God's so good he can get to you. God don't love you because of what you are. God loves you because of who you are. You're his creation. If you're saved, you're his child. If you're not saved, he wants you to be his child. God loves you this morning. God loves you this morning. Every time you say, I hate so-and-so, you're hating somebody God loves. Amen? That ought not be a word in the Christian's vocabulary. We can hate sin and we can hate the devil. Amen? It's okay to hate sin. It's okay to hate the devil. I hate his guts and he hates me back. Amen? Man, ain't you glad God loved you? Aren't you glad God loved you this morning? Right where you were. Right where you were. He came to me. His reach reached out and touched you and showed you the reason for his love, for his grace, that the fact that he loved you. We notice the reach of God's grace and then the reason of God's grace. But then thirdly this morning, and we'll get to the message, I want you to notice the responsibility of God's grace. The responsibility of God's grace. To whom much is given, of him much will much also be required. Hey, we've got a responsibility to do something with the grace that has been shown to us. As a Christian, as a church, as a country, we are liable. Paul said, I am a debtor. I am a debtor to the Jew and the Greek and the barbarian. He said, I'm debtor to the world because of what Christ did for me. I owe a debt. You and I owe a debt this morning. We owe a debt to God that we can never repay. He loves us. We ought to love him back. He loves this world. We ought to love it too. Amen. The responsibility of grace. What are you doing with the grace of God? Are you misusing it? Is it your spare tire? Is it your emergency fund? What are you doing with the grace of God? Do you live each day appreciative of what God has shown and done for you? Yeah. Think about it now. Think about it. Brother Jason, you ought to be dead. Amen. You should have OD'd. You should have drowned in your own vomit. Amen. Amen. Hey, man, I'm telling you, God's been good to us. Amen. And we have a responsibility each and every day of our lives to thank God for his grace. to be grateful for His grace, but then to share that grace and to show that grace to somebody else. Amen. I am sick of judgmental Christianity. I'll say it again. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of this crowd running around looking down their nose at everybody else. I believe the Bible says, and such were some of you. I'm tired of this crowd. Oh, you've been divorced. You're a second-class citizen. No, you're not. You're just as saved as the one looking down their nose at you. I said it flat-footed, and I don't care who don't like it. Amen. Hey, it's life. It's funny, you can go through anything else and get forgiven and get up and brag about it, and everybody shout the roof off. But boy, if somebody got a divorce, you're done for. Don't die on me. That's just an excuse to sit up on your high horse and look down your nose at somebody else. Amen. God showed grace to us. We'll learn to show grace to others. Man, thank God I can meet a little old bus kid in the hall and fist bump and have a good time with it. Hey, red, yellow, black, or white, hey, they all precious in His sight. There ain't no second-class citizens around here. They're all number one in the eyes of God. Hey, and if God's going to show them grace, we're going to show them grace. Amen. I don't care who comes dragging through their door, that door right there. Don't you go looking down your pointed nose at them. God sends them here, we're going to love them. Yeah, but they don't dress like I do. Who gives a rip? They don't talk like I do, and they don't act like I do. Thank God they don't act like some of you. Amen. We're going to love them where they are. Don't die on me. We have a responsibility to the grace of God. Now, I believe God has, you can go ahead and turn your Bible to Matthew. I believe the Lord has richly blessed America. America is probably today in the lowest state spiritually she's ever been. Our own currency has the statement, "In God we trust." I'm afraid that's no longer true. Not even among some so-called churches. We don't trust in God. We trust in our programs and we trust in this scheme and that scheme. Hey, we need to get back to where we put our trust in God according to Proverbs chapter number 3. Trust Him with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. But America has become self-sufficient. And if America's not careful because of her self-sufficiency, she'll self-destruct. America has richly known the grace of God. God birthed this nation. Should have never happened. Should have never happened. A ragtag bunch of soldiers made up of farmers came to this country, took on one of the greatest armies on the planet, and won. God blessed our liberty. God blessed our freedom. I believe with all my heart, God birthed this nation. The first public building built in America was a church. Did you know that? Where they could worship God freely. Hey, let's don't take our freedom for granted. Let's thank God for it every day. Hey, the church's responsibility is to get the grace of God outside those doors and into the highways and into the hedges and tell others that Jesus died for you. Everybody's up in the air about this next election. If you think that's going to fix America, you got another thing coming. I ain't got confidence in none of them.
That's right.
Republican, Democrat, what do you call it? Independent, Tea Party, Disco Party. I ain't got a confidence in the crowd. I mean, not one of them. Amen. Amen. They all about themselves and what they going to get out of it.
Yeah, right.
You don't show me how much you love America? Serve Congress for free.
Amen.
That's what the First Continental Congress did.
Yes, sir.
They were volunteers. Amen. We all right? Show me how much you love America. Be a pro bono president. Take away Air Force One, all them trips and all that fortune and all that fame. I guarantee you every one of them would back out. Oh, no, I ain't running. Let him run the country on my salary. Well, Matthew, I got to watch myself this morning. Matthew chapter number 11. Look with me at verse number 20. Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 20. I'm going to try to hurry, but I got a lot to say. The Bible said in Matthew 11 and verse number 20, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein, watch this, most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. He's getting on. He's scolding. He's reprimanding three cities here in Matthew chapter number 11. The Bible said where most of his mighty works were done. Three cities. We're going to mention Chorazin, Capernaum, and Bethsaida. If you look at a map, you'll see the Sea of Galilee kind of lays like this right here. And then you've got Chorazin, Capernaum, and Bethsaida right there. And in those three cities, in that general area, is where the Lord most of his earthly ministry was done. Now, I would compare those three cities to America this morning. God has done in our time. In modern day, in the last, say, 200 years, God has done more in and through the United States of America than any country on the face of this planet. It's sent out more missionaries. It's called more pastors. It's printed more Bibles. It's printed more gospel tracts. America, the great awakening, the great revivals. I'm telling you, God has used America. To whom much is given. I believe America is responsible for every sermon preached behind a pulpit this morning. America is responsible for every gospel tract that's printed, every Bible that comes off the press. We have a responsibility to the grace of God. These three cities, let's read on verse 21. Watch what he says to them. I'm talking about the places where he walked, where he lived, where he worked, where he performed his miracles, where he called his disciples, where he ate with his friends, where he fed multitudes, and where he opened blinded eyes. These three cities where all that stuff happened, man. These three cities were witness, not to the Bible, but to him. They saw him. They saw him. They saw him do all these things. They heard him speak. They heard him preach. Verse 21, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained till this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Wow. That's heavy right there. That's out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus himself. He said it's going to be worse on Sodom and Gomorrah. That I burned with fire. It's going to be easier on them in the day of judgment than it is for you. Why? They didn't have what you had. They didn't have the Son of God walking among them, eating among them, performing miracles among them. They didn't have the Word of God made flesh and dwelt among them, but you have. America has known more of the grace of God. Oh, my, we are responsible. And I want us to take to heart the responsibility as Christians, but not only as Christians individually, but as a church as a whole. To be thankful for His grace and to share His grace with others. You know, I never know who's going to walk through that door, and you don't either. I never know when your next pastor may get off one of them buses. I never know when the next preacher boy may climb off one of them buses. I may have fist bumped him in the hall this morning. Are you listening?
Yeah. Amen.
I think I saw Jason here a while ago. Jason Bice, I don't know where he's at. There he is in the balcony. I guarantee you his daddy never thought I'd be his pastor when he picked me up and put me on his bus. Yeah. I bet he never thought when he was paddling my rear end in school that one day I'd spit on him on the front row. Yeah. You don't know who we're dealing with. There may be somebody out there in that gym right now that'll possess the power and the touch that Billy Graham did in his younger days. We don't know. We don't know who we're dealing with. Be careful. Be careful. I want you to notice a few things about these cities. I want you to notice the heritage of their grace. The heritage of their grace. Man, they had a history of knowing God. Listen to me. We have a rich heritage in America, especially here in the South. Now, two Sundays ago, I was in Montana. I had 30 saved, man. What a blessing. In Montana, I go to this church, and then to go to another one, you got to drive and 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 drive. I'm serious, it's a heart attack. There's more people in the city of Atlanta than there is the entire state of Montana. Ain't no big crowds out there to draw. That's why ain't preachers flocking out there to try to start a church. I just got news for you. That's our next one's going in that direction. There's a need, man. I got a burden. Them little old pastors out there, they don't have nobody. They ain't got a preacher down the street they can have lunch with. They don't have anybody. We live in the spiritually richest portion of the world. Our parking lots are full. Our pews are full. People are flocking to church. I see a return to God in America right now. And buddy, we're in the buckle or on the buckle of the Bible Belt right here in Billerica, Georgia. Man, I think about our history. My home church where I grew up and heard the gospel for the first time in my life has been in existence for well over 100 years, maybe close to 200. Long time. What a history we have. What a history we have in America. What a history. We go back to the old baseball player Billy Sunday, raring back, preaching in Times Square in New York City, preaching against sin and preaching that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Man, thank God for our heritage. If we're not careful, we're spitting in the face of our forefathers. As men are marching down before a so-called pastor, two men saying their vows and becoming husband and husband. Don't croak on me. I love the sinner, but we got to hate the sin. I wonder if Benjamin Franklin and Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Jefferson, if they could see what was going on in America right now, as they signed their name on that Declaration of Independence, I wonder if this is what they had in mind. Little baby we put in the ground on Wednesday that we prayed for so hard to make it and to live. I've got a picture of her on my phone. She's beautiful. She's an entire little baby, just so tiny. But yet people kill them at Liberty every single day. They will put you in jail for shooting a dog. I'm trying to behave this morning. Hey, well, I'm serious. I had a lady from the Paulding County Animal Shelter, pound, whatever you call it. I was out of town preaching, and Katie, our baby girl, was at home then before she married, and she come out the door, and a pit bulldog was in our yard and wouldn't let it get in her car. I told her to go back in, call the pound. I said, you get the lady from the pound there, tell her to call me. That lady called me. I said, are you going to put that dog down? She said, no, sir. I know where he lives. I'm going to take him home. I said, well, he comes back in my yard, I'll kill him. She said, sir, you'll go to jail. I said, are you serious? A dog can come in my yard and show aggression and I can't kill it? Yeah. This is where we live. But a child can walk into an abortion clinic and do away with the life of a human being without his mother or her mother and daddy even knowing about. Boy, we've come a long way. Children are being dealt meth, even in methamphetamines, even in elementary school. I was in high school before I ever knew what marijuana smelled like. My wife's so naive. They were out on, her and Sister Edwina were visiting together last year when we were doing that Project 101, and they went up and knocked on the door, and the lady opened the door, and my wife said, "What's that smell?" Edwina said, "That's pot. Don't inhale." I wonder why she come home, ate everything we had in the house. Quickly. The heritage of God's grace. Man, we've got a responsibility to our heritage. This country was founded on the principles of this book. And we ought to honor them as Christians. We're living in a day when anything goes, whatever you want to do, it's all okay. It ain't okay if it don't line up with this book right here. You say, "I'm offended. I've had an abortion." Don't be offended. One time I said something about abortion, and I'll never forget, my mother came to me after service. She said, "You shouldn't have said that. So-and-so's here, and she had an abortion." I didn't know. I went up to her and apologized. I said, "I'm sorry if I offended you." She bust out crying. She said, "No, you need to tell them all. That's the worst mistake I ever made. I've regretted it ever since." She said, "You preach against it all you want."
Yes, sir.
Amen. Our heritage. We have a godly heritage. But our world has gotten so ungodly. So ungodly, so lewd and so wicked. Our morals are just about gone. We got to fight for this thing, people. Fight for our heritage. We went to Walmart the other day, and there's a grown man. I ain't talking about a teenager. A grown man bent over working. He had his hood up working on his car. His entire rear end, his belt was around his thighs. I never wanted to give somebody a wedgie so bad in my life. I'm like, "Man, you're an adult. Pull your pants up." Take off your pajamas and put on clothes before you go to Walmart. I mean, we ought to just act a little better. I mean, man. Society would have you believe that we have come so far. No, man started off perfect in the Garden of Eden. Man started off about as high as you can get. And now he's sunk about as low as you can get. Oh yeah, we got technology, but it's made us stupid.
Amen.
Amen. The heritage of God's grace. These cities knew the grace of God. The grace of God, excuse me. They saw all the miracles of God. They saw all the men of God, Peter, James, and John. I mean, man, they ate with these guys. Can you imagine sitting on that mountainside that afternoon and watching Jesus take that little lunch of that little boy and bless it and feed 5,000 plus women and children? Can you imagine witnessing that? Let me tell you something. As a church, we've seen greater than that. Some of y'all looking at me like you disagree. We have witnessed greater than the feeding of the 5,000. We've witnessed greater than the opening of blinded eyes. We've witnessed the dead come to life. According to Ephesians chapter 2, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We've witnessed the greatest miracle of all, and that's the salvations of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds who were on their way to hell. Hey, our heritage is so great, man, we ought to be shouting it from the rooftop. We notice in these cities the heritage of God's grace. But then secondly, and I'll finish up, the hour of God's grace. The hour of God's grace. There was a time when God was doing something great in these cities. It's clear, people, that there was a time when God had his hand on America. Everything America touched turned to gold. We're not doing so hot these days. We can't even handle a little group of Islamic terrorists. There was a time just not too long ago when our nation's leader would make statements like, "Nuke them till they glow."
Yeah, amen.
That's what Ronald Reagan said. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. We had leaders with some backbone. Man, there was an hour in America when America was great. Don't get me wrong, I love this country. And I'll fight you over that flag right there. You're going to burn one, you ain't going to do it here without toting a whooping. Amen, I love America. I support our military. I pray for our leaders every day. But man, we got to get back to the place where we stand up if we want God's hand of blessing on this thing.
Amen, preacher.
It was clear there was a time when God was just all over this place. Revival's breaking out everywhere you look. And you think it's just the South. I preach up north a lot. It'd blow your mind how many of the great revival meetings in America happened up yonder.
Amen.
Ohio, New York. God has swept through those parts of the countries. Oh, my soul. Entire cities have got right with God. Closed the prostitute houses, closed the bars. I'm telling you, entire cities got on their face and repented. There was an hour when God was doing great things. Now, listen to me carefully. I don't want to be all negative this morning. I believe He can do it again. I said a while ago, the answer's not in that White House. It's in this church house.
Amen.
Jesus, the Lord said, if my people which are called by my name get on their face and pray repent, I'd heal their land.
Right.
Oh my. Could it be that simple? Could it be that simple? Oh, give us leaders who will look in the media's eye and say, God bless America. God forgive America. God help us to lead America. Oh, that left-wing crowd would never stand it, would they?
That's right.
I think we have them outnumbered.
Amen.
I really do.
Yeah.
I think we have them outnumbered. We're just too quiet about it.
You're right.
If we would just stand together,
amen,
and band together and say, no.
Amen.
No. There is the heritage of grace, and my, we have a great heritage. There was the hour of grace when God's hand was clearly upon these cities. In the last 200 years, God's been doing some great things in America. I want to see some of those stories that I've read about. I want to see those for myself. I'd like to see a citywide revival. Amen. I kind of enjoy it. And I know some of y'all are a little don't like it a whole lot, but I love it when our churches get together on that fifth Sunday night. It just shows a unity.
Yes.
Amen. And I know we've remedied it. We're not going back to Brother Shea's church. We're going to start doing it in Brother Swafford's gym where we got plenty of room and everybody can show up. I think it's a good thing. I think it says to our community, hey, is that four Baptist churches meeting together?
Amen.
Wow. It shows a unity.
Yes, sir.
Among the brethren, we're not in competition.
We're
on the same team. We have the same desire. We have the same goal.
Amen.
Amen. The heritage of His grace, the hour of His grace, these cities knew those things. Then sadly, and I'm done, I want you to notice there was a halting of God's grace. There was a halting of God's grace. Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, where Jesus walked, where Jesus ate, where Jesus slept, where Jesus called His disciples, where Jesus healed, where Jesus preached, where Jesus taught, miracle after miracle after miracle, these three cities knew. Did you know that by the third century, not one of those cities remained to exist? Gone. Gone. Taken over. Gone. Did you know that after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, nary one of them is mentioned again? They're done. How sad. How sad. We live in a country that likes to memorialize and statues. And I've been to Philadelphia several times, and every time I'm there, I have to ride right by that statue they have in Philadelphia. at Philadelphia of Rocky Balboa. I mean, I love the movies. Don't get me wrong. When he whoops that Russian, it don't get much better than that. But a statue of a false figure? Philadelphia had a real prize fighter, a real world champion, and they didn't make no statue out of him. Boy, we memorialize all these things. We lift up all these things. Man, God has been here. You know what Jesus said? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. If I be lifted up. What have we got to do, people? We just got to lift up Jesus. I don't want the halting of God's grace on America. I don't want God to take his hand. I don't want to lose our religious liberty. I don't want to lose our freedom to hand out a gospel tract. I don't lose our freedom to preach. I don't want to drive up here one Sunday morning, there'll be a chain and a lock on them doors. You said, never happen in America. I bet Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum thought the same thing. I guarantee you none of them ever figured in a few years we won't even exist. Do you understand how young America is? It's one of the youngest nations on this planet. Our existence is not guaranteed. Our freedom is not guaranteed. And I promise you there's a crowd up yonder right now lobbying to take it away. Thank God for his grace. Thank the Lord for the mercy and the grace that he's shown upon us. Let's make sure we're thankful for it. Let's make sure we realize how good God is. Let's make sure we stand up for that which is right. Amen. You know, when I was growing up, I heard, you think this was hard preaching? You ain't got a clue. Growing up, my preacher points you out and call your name.
Amen.
I had some boys get hurt with me last Sunday night, or Sunday morning, whatever it was. I scolded them because they was cutting up in the balcony during altar call. Man, I wished you'd have grew up in my church. Preacher put me on the platform, put a diaper on me, son. This wasn't hard preaching this morning. It's just truth this morning. I ain't mad at nobody, but I want us to stand together. When I was growing up as a kid, them preachers would preach your hide off. And you didn't get mad at the preacher. You know why? You knew they was right. Deep down in your heart, you knew they was right. But we're living in a world today that says, no, the preacher's wrong. You're okay. You're right. Just do anything you want to do. Act any way you want to act. And you'll always have God's blessing. I wouldn't hold my breath.
Amen.
I wouldn't hold my breath. I need God's grace in my life. I need God's grace for my family, for my friends, and for my church. Let's don't misuse it. To whom much is given, what will you do with his grace this week? Will you make light of it? Or will you thank him for it each and every day you get to live? To whom much is given, much will be required. Let's stand to our feet this morning. The Apostle Paul put it this way, Brother Todd, if y'all come and get us a song, if you don't mind. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. If you're a good Christian, it's by his grace. If you're a good daddy, a good husband, a good wife, a good mother, it's because of the grace of God. Let's bow our heads all over the house this morning. I know it wasn't really a salvation message this morning, but I would love to give you the opportunity to know Christ as your Savior. If you're here this morning and you know without a shadow of a doubt that heaven's your home, you know for sure that you're saved, would you just slip up your hand?
No doubt in your heart, no doubt in your mind. You know God. Christ is your Savior. Thank you this morning. I wonder, is there anyone who couldn't raise their hand? I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. Just want to pray for you. You just slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Please remember me when you pray." You can just put your hand up and put it right back down. Anybody? Thank you so much this morning. How about this? "Preacher, I'm a Christian, but I sure have taken the grace of God for granted. Pray for me that I do right by the Lord and by His grace and be a little more thankful and appreciative of what He's done." How about that? Hands all over His house. Let's pray together this morning. Father, as we come to you this morning in Jesus' name, Lord, we are thankful and we are grateful for your grace, for your mercy. Thank you for loving a bunch of old sinners like us. But Lord, you saw every hand, you know every heart. Lord, I pray you'd have your way in this altar call. Lord, I pray you'd bless our country again. Help us as not just as Christians, but as Americans. Lord God, to stand up for what's right. Lord God, to share the grace of God with a lost and a dying world. Father, have your way now, and we'll thank you. We'll praise you, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.